Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Daily for Thursday, January 3rd, 2019. I'm Zach Hall, and welcome to the new year. The big story starting out 2019 is Apple issuing a rare revision to its earning guidance, lowering revenue expectations due to fewer iPhone upgrades than expected. In November, Apple told investors that it expected revenue for the holiday quarter between $89 billion and $93 billion. But on Wednesday afternoon, in a letter written to investors penned by CEO Tim Cook, Apple lowered that number to $84 billion, down $5 billion from the lowest point and $9 billion from the highest in the range. Why? Fewer iPhone upgrades and economic weakness in emerging markets, according to Apple. Specifically, Apple pinpoints Greater China, saying, quote, "In fact, most of our revenue shortfall to our guidance and over 100% of our year-over-year worldwide revenue decline occurred in Greater China across iPhone, Mac, and iPad," end quote. The letter goes on to say that fewer than expected iPhone sales are fully behind the drop in revenue despite growth in all other categories, quote, "Lower than anticipated iPhone revenue, primarily in Greater China, accounts for all of our revenue shortfall to our guidance and for much more than our entire year-over-year revenue decline. In fact, categories outside of iPhone, services, Mac, iPad, wearables, home accessories combine to grow almost 19% year-over-year," end quote. Apple goes on to blame a few non-China factors as well. Quote, "While macroeconomic challenges in some markets were a key contributor to this trend, we believe there are other factors broadly impacting our iPhone performance, including consumers adapting to a world with fewer carrier subsidies, U.S. dollar strength-related price increases, and some customers taking advantage of significantly reduced pricing for iPhone battery replacements," end quote. The battery program is particularly interesting in that list after Apple told investors at the start of the year that its effect on iPhone sales wasn't considered when creating it. Now, Apple is blaming it in part. And the result of Apple's bad news to start out the year, a near 10% drop in its stock price from around $150 per share to $143 per share, putting its valuation behind Microsoft, Amazon, and Google, respectively. Apple will share its full holiday quarter results later this month on Tuesday, January 29th, the first quarter in which iPhone unit sales won't be reported as announced last quarter, only revenue. And on Thursday, Apple announced it had a record-breaking holiday quarter for revenue on the App Store, earning $322 million alone on New Year's Day, up from $300 million, the record recorded on the same day a year ago. In Apple's letter to investors, the company did say that it's still on track to double its services revenue in 2016 by 2020, a goal that was viewed as ambitious at the time and now seems necessary for the company to find new growth opportunities as the iPhone business faces growth challenges. And in our first episode since the holiday break, let's catch up with Bradley Chambers and his weekend columns.
Thanks, Zach. So my articles this weekend, I was looking at two things. Number one, on Saturday, I was looking at what role having dual iCloud accounts on iOS would play for enterprise and education environments. You know, one of the best things about iCloud is it's how heavily and how deeply it's tied into iOS. The downside of that is if you're in a role where you know, or a position where you have managed accounts or accounts that are given to you, you really then are limited on how you can use that device. So a good example is iCloud Photo Library. If you have a work device that's signed into a managed Apple ID, then you cannot access any of your personal photos. So what I'd like to see Apple do is to build an option for dual iCloud accounts on a device. And so the kind of the premise is like the IT departments will be able to delegate like where you could sign into a personal account and then how that data was backed up and vice versa. So maybe you're, like, you know, iCloud Drive stuff is could only work with a managed Apple ID, but then, like, you know, something like FaceTime could work with a personal Apple ID. So check out the article. Let me know what you think. I think there's a lot of strings to pull there, particularly as Apple gets more into managed Apple IDs. And on Sunday, I looked at why I thought 2018 was the wrong time for Apple to exit the home Wi-Fi market. For years, Apple was selling $200 routers when the market was buying $30 routers from Walmart, like the cheapest you can buy. And this was a time when we had five devices on the network max. Like these were the heavy homes. Now, I look at my house, and we're at 29 to 30 devices a day on our network. Again, majority of these are like IoT devices, so they're my, you know, smart home stuff. But again, the time is now when a lot of people are willing to spend $400 and $500 for a whole house Wi-Fi. So I think Apple could come in with a mesh system similar to Google Wi-Fi, similar to Eero, similar to Linksys and to an Orbi from Netgear. Like this is when Apple should be doing well with home Wi-Fi. And there's some things I think they could do that are kind of unique to Apple. I think an option would be an iCloud VPN. So when you're off-site, you can easily kind of VPN to your home network. To make a secure connection. Let's say you're at a coffee shop. I think there's some options here with Siri as well to be able to pause your Wi-Fi from a HomePod. Maybe again, pause all your kid devices and screen time. I think there's a lot of things Apple could do if they owned that home Wi-Fi connection. Obviously, it makes sense for the HomeKit gateway that the Apple TV and the HomePod has now. That makes perfect sense for that to be in an Apple-branded router that's updated. So check out that article. Let me know your thoughts in the comments. I've got a ton of great feedback about that, and I'm great to hear. I'm not the only one that thinks like Apple's missing the boat. There's no reason that they shouldn't be making a really great Wi-Fi system that's branded under the airport name or the time capsule name. People are willing to pay a premium for Apple products, and the home Wi-Fi market is a market in 2018 and heading into 2019 where I also think people are willing to pay a premium. So again, let me know your comments. Both the links to my articles will be in the show notes. Thanks.
Read those stories and more on 9to5Mac.com and subscribe to 9to5Mac Daily in Apple Podcast or Overcast to receive new updates throughout the week.